Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, June 24th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 47, the second paragraph. We needed to ask ourselves, through one paragraph ending, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Linda S., 12 Traditions, Jeannie G. Readers of the text, Eileen M., Michelle A.C., and Leslie M. The reference number for Tuesday, June 23rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,574. That's 23574. And for this morning, Wednesday, June 24th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,576. That's 23576. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Devorah S., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Linda S. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, everyone. This is Linda in Sweden. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Wonderful. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you so much for letting me read.
Thank you so much, Linda S. And I'll now ask Jeannie G. to please read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, Team Wednesday. It's Jeannie G. in Michigan. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Jeannie G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book and we're on page 47, the second paragraph. We needed to ask ourselves, through one paragraph ending, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Eileen M. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, everyone. This is Eileen M., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. Oh, great paragraph today. So this chapter, Chapter 2, We Agnostics, it will be continuing to show us evidence that power is available to each of us. And yeah, so the cornerstone, you know, that's such a good metaphor for step 2. As I heard at the preceding meeting, is that the cornerstone is the first stone that's placed in the foundation. So it's, you know, it's very crucial because it's that stone that the entire structure is dependent on. And, you know, that stone provides stability. And, you know, for me, that refers to the relationship with the higher power is the spiritual structure that's being referred to. And, you know, this is what I'm building with this decision. It's very straightforward. You know, it's not really subtle here. It's not a subtle thing. This is based on me acknowledging in step one that I have no power. Step one, I have no power. And, you know, my understanding of what's being referred to is I have no power to effectively manage my own life on my own power. I can't manage my life. And, you know, in step two, it's really a decision that we're making, but it's we're asking ourselves the question is, do I believe that power is available to me? And, you know, I have to say that, you know, I'm losing my voice here. For the longest time, I did not believe this, that there was power available to me, that God would do this for me. You know, that was a major obstacle for me. So, you know, if you're not willing to believe this, you really can't move forward in the steps. You know, it's a very vital decision. And, you know, as soon as I was willing to believe, I was able to move through the steps, and I have been given a brand new life as the result of this willingness, you know, this willingness to act as if, you know, act as if God exists, act as if God can restore me to sanity. And, you know, just make that decision. Just act as if. I think that is just one of the greatest slogans that I've ever heard, is act as if. You know, and then, you know, if I act as if, you know, I'm acting on that belief that I've acquired. So very grateful, and thanks so much, Dawn, for your service.
Oh, thank you so much, Eileen M. Lovely way to get us started there. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Elena C.
Bruce E. And Elena C.
Lisa N.
Wendy B.
Lisa N. And Wendy B. Well, that's a lovely lineup. I have Donna B., Bruce E., Elena C., Lisa N., and Wendy B. Donna B., please go ahead and get us started. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Thank you. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, from Denver, Colorado. Compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor, living in recovery. And one of the things in this paragraph that's really inspiring and hopeful to me is that it says, we assure him that he's on his way. And the Big Book can be very descriptive. It can offer us a lot of information, a lot of instruction. And here, this sentence is pretty vague. He's on his way. And that vagueness to me affords me the opportunity to understand or interpret that this way that I'm on is wildly open and inclusive and spontaneous and undefined and evolving and changing and sometimes miraculous and awe-inspiring. So it doesn't tell me that he's on his way to this specific destination, and this is what that destination is going to look like. And when you get there, this is the cost of admission, and these are the activities that you can do there. It's really vague. And I think that that vagueness feels like an invitation to surrender and to see what is revealed to me. I am a person who still, after all these years, I occasionally hear a small voice that says to me, not really sure there's a higher power. Like, where did this God thing come from? What is this God thing doing? You know, what does it mean? You know, just all of these questions often dog me. My next response is typically, but look how miraculous my life is. Look at how amazing my life is. Look at the gifts that I've been given. I didn't make these come of my own power. But the truth is that I cannot reconcile what this higher power is and what the circumstances and details of my life are. It's just a mystery, and it continues to be a mystery. So although I've worked through the steps many times, and I do believe I've had a spiritual awakening and unique spiritual experiences, I'm still on my way, and I'm not sure where that is. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Bruce E., it's your turn to share, followed by Elena C.
Is it Bruce E.? I think you said Bruce E., right?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And if you can't hear me well or there's too much noise in the background, let me know. This is Bruce E. I'm down in the bottom of Florida, Southwest Florida, and I'm a recovering food addict, and I'm very, very grateful for this call, for the moderator, for all, everybody on the call, and for myself. Do I believe or I'm willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself? For 38 years of my life, I could never believe that. I always thought I was the power. I guess I did. I never really actually said it to anyone except my little 3-4-year-old daughter. I think I told her once that I was God or something like that. My wife told me, hey, don't be doing that. But I've changed my thoughts, my attitude, my whole way of living and thinking. And I do believe, and I am willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself. And that is awesome, because I never got anywhere without that power. I just didn't. I was just never successful. I just was never, I didn't get anywhere in life without believing in a power greater than myself. And then I heard somebody say once, they came into this program, and they found out there is a God, and that God wasn't them. That's about it. Yeah, I came in here, found out there is a God, that God isn't me. So I do believe, and I am willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself. And it's a whole lot greater than me, because I'm powerless. You know, I'm powerless over food. And I'm powerless over basically everything. You know, I'm powerless over other people. I'm powerless over about everything in life, you know, so because I'm not God, you know, so I am powerless. And that's fine. You know, I'm grateful for being powerless. Let's see. It goes on to say this about that upon this simple cornerstone. Well, I've heard before that the cornerstone is the most important in the arts. The cornerstone is the most important stone. You know, I'm not sure if it's top one or bottom one or what it is, but the cornerstone is important, very, very important, most important of the spiritual structure. So I build a spiritual structure on this simple cornerstone that I do believe that there is a power greater than myself that can help me out with this terrible addiction that I have. And I'm still an addict. You know, I might be abstinent today, but I'm still an addict. I never got over being an addict, you know.
Time?
Yeah, thank you, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Elena C., it's your turn, followed by Lisa N., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Sure. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina. And I underline a lot in this paragraph. I'm gratefully recovered for today. So I admitted I was about that my human power can't do anything about this condition of mine. I tried, you know, I tried diet after diet. I tried to moderate and I couldn't. And so I have to admit powerlessness first in order to access another power. That's the power greater than myself. And once I did that, I now can access this power through the rest of the step. And, you know, I can rely on this power. And it's a relief, because I struggled so much to do it my way and to do it like what other people were doing it around me, you know, who maybe had my issue, yet they didn't have my issues because they were not compulsive overeaters. They could do it, you know. Maybe they were gaining weight and then they got themselves into a diet, they removed the weight and they were able to stay like that or eat moderately sugar or sweets, and I can't. And but a power greater than myself can guide me, and with not only with the eating, but with my relationships with myself and others. And you know, I learned to be compassionate to myself and to be compassionate to others. Today, I work, I help other people, and I have a lot of empathy, compassion for them, and presence. I can be present for them. I couldn't do that without this transformation that is was possible for me on the steps. You know, and it will be a foundation to have a spiritual experience. There is an appendix there that says, please be sure to read appendix 2 on spiritual experience. And it's just doing my part in my relationship with my higher power and seeing me grow, you know, and seeing my relationship grow. And that's absolutely amazing today for me. And I want to stay here. I want to stay that way, you know. I would like to have this kind of life. I don't want to go back to the way it was because I was miserable. And I'm very happy that I have you and these steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Elena C. from South Carolina. Lisa N., it's your turn to share, followed by Wendy B. And just want to let you know, we are on page 47 today, the second paragraph. We needed to ask ourselves, through one paragraph ending, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. And we're sharing on this one paragraph today. So Lisa N., please share with us, followed by Wendy B.
Hey, Don. It's Lisa N., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Thank you so much for your service. Looking at this paragraph, what is coming to me this morning is, you know, going back to how I felt. You know, I personally had a relationship with God. I actually had a beautiful relationship with my higher power, who I call God. There were a lot of things that were blocking the effectiveness of that. You know, like I've heard it, you know, said that God is a gentleman. He, you know, he gives us free will, and he's not going to impose his will on me. So when I go back to when I was at that point of, you know, either the two alternatives, going on to the bitter end or to accept spiritual help, I already had a power, but obviously there was something lacking there, you know, because I wasn't willing to be entirely abstinent. That was like the beginning for me. So, you know, for those people out there, for anybody today who is struggling, like I had to ask myself what it's saying right here. Can I believe in what this person is telling me, or can I believe, or am I even willing to believe that she is telling me I can get recovered? And so what I'm trying to say is, even though I had a higher power and I really had a beautiful relationship, this paragraph came down to, I was willing to trust this person who came to, and they had an answer. They had a solution. And so I just like to kind of turn the paragraph around, kind of response, or, you know, saying, can you believe, or are you even willing to believe that there is a solution for you, that you can get recovered, that you can be entirely abstinent? And for me, as soon as I believed that in my sponsor, I did feel that I was on my way. I mean, it was like, it was just such a relief, you know, the struggling, the fighting, and everything was done. And that, my cornerstone, you know, in entire abstinence, and obviously the relationship with my beautiful higher power today. and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa N. from Georgia. Wendy B., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking a list of more names.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I love this paragraph. Before coming in the program, I called myself a Christian, but, you know, I struggled in my faith. You know, I negated so many of God's promises, you know, thinking they didn't apply to me. And, you know, and I was just kind of like going through the motions. And, you know, being in recovery, you know, especially in this meeting, you know, learning, you know, meeting by meeting and paragraph by paragraph how to apply the big book truths to my life, you know, has really helped my faith practices be real too. You know, the question, you know, do I now believe or am I willing to believe? And the question, you know, is God everything or nothing? You know, has really made my belief practices practical, you know, and brought them home to the core of who I am. And, you know, God saying, you know, I'm his child and he loves me and he will guide me each step of the way. You know, I believe it now. You know, I trust his spirit is in me, guiding me, you know, and I see his favor blessing and prospering me, you know, if I do the next right thing. And, you know, I no longer strive to be perfect, you know, and to perform perfectly because I accept the fact that I'm only human, you know, and I can't be perfect. That's God's domain, you know, and I don't have to rely on my own human strength or my own wisdom. You know, I can rely on God doing what I can't do, you know, and every morning I get to choose to believe, you know, I get to choose faith. I get to put on the fruits of the Spirit like a garment. You know, I get to put on abstinence and neutrality, you know, and it's a daily gift that I receive and I put on, you know. And I like the fact that, you know, my spiritual structure is being built day by day. You know, my faith is growing stronger day by day, you know, as I see evidence around me. You know, it's being proved among us. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. All right. Well, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Robin H.
Robin H.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Brenda S.
Brenda S.
S.
S as in Sam?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Thank you. Anyone else? Star one?
Hillary B.
Hillary B. All right. Let's go with that lineup. I have Robin H., Janice K., Brenda S., and Hillary B. Robin H., please share with us and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Robin H. calling from Boston, and thank you all for your service, and thank you all for being here. I could not do this without you. This paragraph to me inspires so much hope and encouragement, because it's saying to me that, you know, I don't have to know what my higher power is. I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to know anything. I just need to open up my heart and believe that higher power is there, and higher power's goal is to provide protection for me and my life. And I think I always believed in a God. I can remember my rabbi saying that God is omnipotent, and I thought that meant God is all-knowing, and I do agree with that. But I just didn't get the connection and the sort of the benefit of actually opening up and trusting. And that's the other thing this paragraph to me is about, is about trust in a relationship. And I think, oh, if I had only believed then, way, way, way back then, would my life have been any easier? I don't know. I mean, my life was certainly really difficult, and I was miserable and sad and felt broken and lost. And now, you know, I don't feel that way a lot of the time, because I've got a relationship that I can actually work on. There's faith that I can put into this, like insert faith. I can open my heart and I can follow, and I don't have to know anything. I don't have to try to control anything because I can't. I don't have to fight that uphill battle moment to moment to try to control my body, my shape, my hunger, my appetite, anything. And I can't. And there's also no need to do that, because if I listen, not just hear, but listen, my higher power is going to give me the answers. I do have to, like the paragraph says, be willing to believe that there is a power that will protect and hold me with kindness and compassion. And it's really freeing and sometimes scary, but still really freeing, because all I have to do is just take that step. All right. Thank you all. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin H. from Massachusetts. Janice K., it's your turn to share, followed by Brenda S.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. And this paragraph is one that brings up the topic of willingness. Willingness is, as I am quite sure anyone who has even tried this program can tell you, is a big, big component of how this works. Willingness implies a readiness to believe or to change beliefs. It assumes an openness of mind. I'm aware of some other OA literature that talks about, in step three, it talks about willingness and ability. We ask for and we receive. First, the willingness, then the ability. And we get it every time we ask for it, and we get it without fail. The thing is the willingness. And part of that willingness is the willingness to renegotiate a definition of a higher power. And as program progresses, the higher power tends to grow, because as I work the steps, I find out that I need more and more help to get through this. The list of things I am powerless over just grows, and I need to be able to change and adapt. And I end up asking for willingness and ability to do things that may or may not have a bearing on food, but that certainly have a bearing on health, happiness, and sanity at times. So, willingness, yeah. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe? I don't know how many meetings I've been in where I've heard people ask for the willingness to be willing. And it seems silly, but it's not. I recently had a member share something with me. And part of the sharing was her question to God, which was, okay, God, are you going to meet me in the kitchen every meal for the rest of my life? And God's answer was, I'm willing. Are you? So willingness is a key component to any kind of spiritual walk. And that's what I have to share today. Thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Brenda S., it's your turn to share, followed by Hillary B., and then I'll be taking some more names. Just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 47, the second paragraph. We needed to ask ourselves, through one paragraph ending, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. And we're commenting on that one paragraph today. So Brenda S., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for everybody's shares and service. This is Brenda out here in Washington State. And I'm so excited that I got to listen to this today. This is my favorite book that I've got to read in this fellowship. And it's because it helped started to reveal to me my own dishonesty, not only around food, but around a lot of different things. I can remember being a kid, like in kindergarten, and them showing us that picture of man progressing through evolution, you know, from a small monkey, you know, to a less hairy monkey to a man. I remember thinking, that's ridiculous. Even as a child, I had a sense that there was a higher power, and that always makes me chuckle. I just can't ever swallow that. And then at 23, I came into a relationship with a higher power that started to restore me to sanity. But that was many moons ago, and man, I have lived most of my life on my own steam, and that's really brought a lot of brokenness and a lot of dishonesty into my life. And I want to live in honesty with my highest power. And you know, this group, the Big Book, the 12 Steps, my sponsor, you know, these are awesome tools God's given me to get me to complete surrender. I'm off of my alcoholic foods, you know, not completely settled around in my program and that kind of thing. But I think this We Agnostics is an amazing chapter, and it's just getting me closer to surrender and honesty. And I think we can be powerful in prayer. You know, we're not, I just don't want to believe that I'm completely powerless. I just want to believe that my highest power has my back, and prayer and meditation is the power. Thank you so much for letting me talk and be here, guys, and appreciate you all being here. And pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda S. from Washington State. Hillary B., it's your turn to share.
Thank you for moderating, Dawn. I am Hillary B. from Southern California, gratefully recovered for today. And I've been able to do over 3 years worth of today's. And it sounds so easy here. I needed to ask myself but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? I first came into OA when I was, well, in 1981. And for about 10 years, I was in, out, in, out, in, out. And then in 1991, I came to stay. And I worked the program to the best of my ability. And I had abstinence here, abstinence there, binging here, binging there. And, you know, I did grow spiritually. I did have the willingness to believe as far as a higher power was, but I did not have the willingness or ability to believe I could survive without sweets, that I could survive without salty snacks, that I could survive without fat, that I could survive without fast food. No matter how my faith deepened, I couldn't really get abstinent. but I was younger and I had enough abstinence here and there, and maybe my disease hadn't progressed that much, and I was able to not gain so much weight, maybe 20 pounds up, 20 pounds down. It started with 10 up, 10 down, and, you know, it went on and on. And anyway, then I got up to 150 pounds, which to a lot of people in OA, that doesn't sound like much, but it was huge to me. I had these gigantic breasts that I was so ashamed of. I had a stomach that went on like Humpty Dumpty, and I'm short, and also I was raised by an alcoholic, bulimic mother and a father who was fat obsessed. So I could not be fat, and just, I couldn't. It was so shameful. But during COVID, I just couldn't stop eating. COVID, it got worse and worse. And that's how I got up 250 pounds. And I got very depressed, very depressed. And I finally got a willingness to believe that a higher power would take care of me even if I let go of the food. Okay, one day at a time. And I worked the steps. Again, I have worked the steps more times than I can count. A bunch of times. And this time it was different. And I am so grateful to have such faith in a higher power that I was even willing to let go of the food. My physical symptoms were worse. Oh my goodness, I go on and miss the point. All right, thank you for timing me. I appreciate it, Don, and I pass.
Thank you, Hillary B. from California. All right, I do value, all of us value your experiences, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Marla S. from Iowa.
Marla S., Iowa. And who else? Take one more name. Okay, Marla, why don't you share, and then we'll... Oh, go ahead.
Jan C. Denver.
Jan C. Okay, Marla from Iowa, and then Jan C.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Well, thanks. Hi, Don. Good morning, everyone. I'm Marla S. from Iowa, compulsive overeater, recovered for today. Glad to be on the line. I think I thought for years that I was willing to do anything, willing. But the one thing that I wasn't willing to do was to stop eating the food. And sadly, I didn't realize it until my fourth try at OA came back in 2012, that what I needed to be willing to do was to give God a shot at it. And in the past, anytime I thought I was willing, it was, yeah, I'm willing, and hand me the Milky Ways, and I'm willing while shoving the M&M in my mouth. I cannot choose God, the healthy, reliable God, if I continue to make food my God. And there's only two choices for me, because if I am willing and I need higher power, and I only have two choices, it's like a pain medicine for me. It was like oxycodone. You can have your oxycodone over here because it'll take away the pain for, you know, the first hour here, 4 seconds, or you can go and try this higher power over here that people talk about. And I was like, oh yeah, I want that higher power, the good one, the healthy one. But yet, as long as the food was an option for me on the table, I would always choose that. Why would I go to the God thing? That takes so much more time. It's not immediate, you know. And so I had to be willing. The willingness showed itself in terms of being desperate enough to say, hey, you're going to have to suffer a little discomfort, little lady. The willingness is, I'm going to have to suffer a little bit of fear and not knowing if this will work, because I cannot open myself up to the power of receiving God's power in my life if I'm going to keep
diverting to the food. It has to be uncomfortable for a little while. And as long as I keep picking up oxycodone, I will never take a shower to relieve pain or massage it or go to therapy. I'm always going to pick the easiest option. So until I made it clear that willingness looks like, no, you don't get to go to that, you know, ice cream today. Today you're going to offer yourself to God. Today you're going to ask God to, because God could never get in there. I mean, God could never prove to me that he or she or it could do a successful, better job until I was willing to sit with the fear and the anxiety and the discomfort of choosing not to eat. Okay. Thanks, Dawn. Hope that helps someone. Bye-bye.
Oh, very helpful. Thank you so much, Marla from Iowa. Jan C., it's your turn to share.
Thanks so much, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. I'm so grateful to be on this meeting today. Oh, my goodness, my higher power is the most important thing being in my life. I've always believed in a higher power, even since I was a little girl, and I was never really afraid, but I had a healthy fear, because I was taught about if you did certain things in your life, they were against the rules, and you could go to hell if you died right away. Well, thank you, higher power. I've been relieved of those beliefs. And what I just want to share is that I've turned everything over to my higher power. And I'm fortunate that I have had quite a bit of willingness. I was never really willing to send my meal plan to anybody, but about a little over a year ago, something was going on, and I decided I had to do that, called my sponsor, and she just told me that if I had to be flexible, I shouldn't be crazy. But there was a lot of guidance in those wise words. And lo and behold, some big things happened in my family, and you guys, I've not had to eat over at once. That is not Jan. That is my higher power. And so I'll never want to forget this experience of this year, because it's taught me even more reliance. And so every little thing and every big thing I take to my higher power. So thanks so much for letting me share. I just get so much out of this vision meeting in the mornings. God bless everybody.
Oh, thank you so much, Jan C. from Colorado. Lovely way to close out the sharing. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. If you do happen to be new, please stick around, because we're going to allow newcomers a chance to announce their names and numbers. So please stay with us. Michelle A.C., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Star 1, Michelle.
Sorry about that. This is Michelle A.C. in Boulder, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.